Hello, live from the West. Well, not really live, because this is going to go up like at least like maybe Monday, maybe Tuesday. I still don't even know. But whatever the case, at the Westin Bonaventure Hotel, this is Justin. I am the editor-in-chief of organization Anti-Social Geniuses. Hello there, Muse.
Hello, and I'm Muse. I'm also known as Subdued Fangirl. I'm the figure reviewer and anime manga reviewer for the site.
Oh, wait. Is there another thing you do on the site, too? Just recently started this little feature?
I'm also anime co-editor. So I get to review all the stuff that goes up on the site for anime-wise.
I'm pretty sure it's something about manga and shoujo.
Yes. Another writer on the site and I, Helen and I, we started a series that's going to run over the summer. Shoujo You Should Know, because we're bringing up older, more backlist shoujo titles ranging from a couple years old to a couple decades old. Things that we feel really strongly about that people should read, that they should know more about, talk more about, discover for themselves. So check that out. A lot of really good titles there.
Wow, that's a lot. You do a lot for yourself, don't you?
Yeah, I do a lot.
Okay.
You don't really think about it too much.
Okay, just to let you guys all know, we're like in the lobby of the hotel, so if you hear like water sounds or any other music, well, apparently there's actually some sort of event going on upstairs. I think that's where the loud music is occurring. I'm not sure what it is. Just a lot of Chinese people.
We are recording on 4th of July, so there's all kinds of stuff going on.
Count that as another one of the bad decisions. OSGS history, doing a podcast on 4th of July.
Last night of the con.
and second to last night at the con, too. Because, who knows what's going to happen Sunday, but I think we have just enough material to talk about the past couple of days, right? Thursday to Saturday, right?
Because it's last night for me, because I'm out of here tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah, I'm pretty much the same. Like, tomorrow, I'm just going to head over to the Yen Press panel. And then after that, I may go to the Crunchyroll manga panel, because I went to the Crunchyroll industry panel today, and they said they have some super big announcements on for tomorrow. I wonder what they could possibly say that can top it. It will have to be something like Chihaya Furu, honestly.
Something, yeah, because, at this point.
Because I remember a couple weeks ago, some people were saying like E2 was like the... where the place, the land where dreams come true, or something like that. This anime expo was basically like that. There was like, it's been so many announcements over the past couple of days where you're just like, what?
Yeah, it's usually kind of hard to predict which panels are going to have those big shocker announcements. Like, I accidentally got into the this panel, so I was there when they did the announcements for.
I was in an accident.
Because I was trying to get into the Good Smile panel right after that, so they just let me in. So, so I was there for their announcements as well, for Legend of Galactic Heroes and all that, and One Punch Man. They got to drop all of that, so that was cool.
Yeah, and then later on. We're planning on being on. Whatever.
We'll talk about that later. It's been very interesting the way panels have been handled this year.
Right. And then right after that, or in Sentai's panel, they announced that they had the anime version of Legend of the Galactic Heroes. My only like knowledge of the show is that if you haven't watched it already, you're just looked upon differently, honestly, as an anime fan. I know the cart driver, Scamp, he did a critique where he basically got all the, I would say, kind of elitist anime bloggers. But no, they're pretty cool guys. He got them together. He looked at their My Anime List scores, put them all together, and at the top of the list, let's see, the Japanese name I believe is called Gengya Eiyu Densetsu. I may have butchered it, my bad, but that's Legend of the Galactic Heroes. It's basically one of these titles where it's really hyped up, and I'm actually thrilled that it's been licensed, because it's been, everybody's been chasing this for the longest, and now it's finally going to come.
Yeah, because they introduced it on the Viz panel, that they said it could never be done, and then they pulled up the panel, and there was one guy at the side of the room just went, what? So that was crazy. It's one of those series where I know its reputation, but I've never been able to actually get into it due to the availability, so this is pretty cool. So I'll actually be able to see it for myself.
Yes.
Multiple ones.
Yeah, it does make you wonder, like, Sentai has the rights to it. They kind of work together with Crunchyroll.
Yeah, it does make you
I guess we still gotta wait because I don't think it's gonna come out this year. I think it's gonna come out next year. I'm actually more looking forward to the novels.
Yeah, because that was what this unveiled, which kind of that like led to the domino effect, basically.
Like how how they're gonna be translated? Honestly, like it's so the material is so old.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting. That's some really cool stuff.
Let's see. I think the other big announcement over the weekend. Was maybe something called Princess Jellyfish. I have to apologize personally because I wasn't even sure. When I lined you, I wasn't even sure if you had watched the animated version of it. So I just said, by the way, because I'm sure just licensed the manga version. Just wanted to let you know.
Yeah, I was in the entertainment hall in cosplay. I sat down for 2 seconds. I just got back from the Android 500 exhibit, finished taking my pictures over there, sat down, saw your text, responded, and sent that to me, and I was literally just like, was in the entertainment hall. Wasn't really paying attention to people around me. I'm pretty sure I got some weird looks. It was just out of nowhere, but that really surprised me, so that was cool.
Yeah, that's another like. It's going to be very interesting to see how that does.
Well, that was one where they said very recently, I think not too long after the anime, well, I could be getting that wrong, but I think somebody asked about that, or a couple people have been asking about that, and they kept being told, you know, no, that's not something we're looking at.
Right, even got
for whatever reason.
Yeah, I even got like a text on Twitter, like after I tweeted, I saw messages saying that, one of the guys who worked at Kodansha said 2 years, so we're not even considering it.
Right, yeah, that's what's been said for a while about that, despite the, as far as I heard, the anime was really well received over here, and I really enjoyed it. So that was one that people were kind of giving up on. I'd kind of given up on it. It was something that I wanted, but I didn't think I'd ever see it, so that was very cool.
Yeah, and also, like, in general, like, Jose, I don't know, for some reason, like, there's not that much Jose licensed.
No, there isn't. I think that there's kind of, I feel like there's kind of a fear in terms of sales. It doesn't do quite as well as the shoujo, from what I've heard. But I think the interest is there now. I think there's more of a base there now than there used to be with the first couple of Jose licenses. So, but I think that the fan base will definitely come out.
I guess the only other big announcement. Well, actually, I'm pretty sure it's another big announcement. I'm blanking on it right now. But I know, like, when I went to the Crunchyroll panel this morning, apparently, like, Sinpokuya GX, this was a big title, or at least based on how the response to it when I tweeted it, like, like they were just like, it feels like they gave up. Like, the second season didn't get subbed or anything, or was hardly subbed. Funimation had the rights the first season, promptly just quietly stopped. Like, nobody really talked about it. But there are obviously these fans that are looking forward to seeing it. I just watched the first episode. It was a long time ago, but it didn't seem like it was. I watched the first episode of Nico Nico.
Right.
When that existed.
Yeah, when that was the thing, yeah.
It didn't seem like it was horrible or anything like that. I just, like, lost track of time and forgot to watch it. Maybe if Crunchyroll gets like the other seasons, I might consider checking it out more.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. What else was there? That's pretty much what sticks out for me in terms of.
Pretty sure I'm forgetting something. I'm pretty sure like somebody's just gonna be like, "How could you forget this?"
It's two things. One, we're very tired. And two, a lot of stuff happened
too.
This weekend.
That is true. Like, Thursday, Saturday were just, ugh. And I kind of regret the Thursday. Thursday was not a very good experience for me. You probably don't want to know my why my experience was not. Oh, I told you why my experience was not very good, didn't I?
Yeah.
I had the bright idea of showing up to Anime Expo on a Thursday from New York, and I got on the plane.
Yeah.
For the very first
time. And then coming to that.
Yes. For the very first time, I was anticipating it would actually be kind of quiet. Oh, and right just as I thought about it, I remembered the other thing, Nichijou.
Yes.
The manga.
That is, yeah. That was and the one this, I was trying
and just,
to remember.
And just that like that, Eshavez, if you're listening to this right now, you know I didn't forget about Nichijou.
Yes.
It's not the anime.
Oh, but that's something. I think I know a lot of people still really love Nichijou. I love Nichijou. I think if we, because there's that push, you know, like you show that support for the manga, when the anime comes, you show your support for the anime, the manga comes, you know, that kind of thing. You just, I feel like a lot of this hobby is like vote with your dollars kind of thing. I mean, I know like the Nichijou anime license and that just kind of fell through because of company stuff.
Yeah.
But I do think that that's super big. So I think people come out and support that, then probably the other companies will look into maybe hopefully license rescue. I have no idea what the contract is for that because of all that stuff going on. Who knows?
Yeah, it does.
They license Legend of Galactic Heroes. Who knows?
Yeah, exactly. Like, what is next to license? Okay, I already said Chiafuru. I can't really say Space Brothers because, I mean, yeah, maybe I would want the print manga, but it's Crunchyroll has it.
Like, bring out your, absolute just pick when pigs fly license.
It basically makes you. Okay, that's it. It's like this right now. I'm looking at you, Gempress. The only thing you got on me is Silver Spoon. That is it. That is it. If you get that might be just that. That's gonna be pretty big. But yeah, this has been an interesting convention with all these panel announcements. It's like things have changed since last year or the past couple of years where you would get these licenses that you might have expected or. Yeah, you get that surprise or two, but they're usually either recent or not just necessarily recent, but something along with they usually get licensed. But with like Viz throwing out Legend of Galactic Heroes, Vertical with Nichijou, Kodansha with Princess Jellyfish, could be a sign we're looking backwards a little bit. Like there's some titles in Japan that I would love to see out over here. So,
I mean, if anything, that's just they're definitely listening to fan demand. Pie-in-the-sky kind of thing, so it's like I say that with like a caveat that like, you know, don't be that really annoying guy who's sending emails every single day or anything like that, but if there's something you're really passionate about, you know, like keep mentioning it. They are definitely listening.
I think the last bit we'll talk about just to maybe just get into like how we experience like AX.
Yeah, because we definitely had very different experiences.
Very, very different experiences. Funimation is apparently doing this their own. They're going to be a part of a production committee in Japan. It's called Dimension W. It's supposed to come out next year. This is interesting. It's rare that a U.S. company tries to like. Influence anime title, so it's very interesting to see where that's going to go. It's obviously pretty early in the stages, so who knows where that's going to go. But it's going to be interesting.
So I feel like, I mean, that said, this may be just me, my tired brain talking. But I feel like in the past there was another anime company that tried that. There was at least one title company.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there has been. I feel like I'm not thinking of Toonami, like when they had like what was that show? IGPX, something like that.
Something like that.
May
that.
Be
yeah, and
wrong
then there was another one I cannot think of it right now.
It was a
I can't think of it.
Kurokami. Is it Kurokami?
Was it that one? Okay. There was another one I cannot think of it.
I feel like it was Kurokami.
But like we've seen that kind of stuff in the past, but then it seems to be like they'll do like that one title or maybe two and kind of like, okay, that was cool.
That's it.
So it'd be interesting to see if this goes beyond that, like sets a new precedent.
Yeah. We we're going to set a precedent for, like, just doing completely different things during a convention. Like, what was you up to, like, the past couple of days?
It's been cosplay for me for this entire convention. This is my fourth year at AX and my second year cosplaying more seriously. My first cosplay was actually back in 2011, and that was just, I wasn't wearing any makeup, no wig, none of that. I just, like, bought some stuff, threw it together, and it turned out okay, but it wasn't a very serious effort on my part. And last year is when I decided to make a more serious effort, and tons of trial and error, and all that. So, and I'm getting deeper into it every year, I feel. So this weekend was, you know, cosplay. I spent the majority of my time in the entertainment hall, with different booths. A lot of time at the Cosmix booth, which was awesome. Those of you listening, if you don't know what Cosmix is, it's a social media website for cosplayers. If you're interested in cosplay or cosplay photos, they're pretty new, but it's a really smooth website. I've had an account with them for about a year now. And so for this year, they partnered with AX to offer free photos for any cosplayer who goes to their booth, and then offering prints for a charge. But all the pictures are free, and they're going to go up on their website. I think they said a couple days after the con's over that the photographers are going to go through them and choose the ones that they like the best and put them up. But that was really incredible for me, because I've never had professional photos done of my cosplays at all. This was the year when I did want to try and get more professional photos done, so that was really great. That was a really great experience for me. That was my first experience with professional photos, and I got some really awesome photos. And as soon as I've got the photographer credit, I'm going to be throwing that up all over my social media.
Oh, man.
Everywhere. I'm really excited about this.
Well, okay, you told me what you've been you told me a little bit what you've been cosplaying, but
yeah.
Hey, nobody knows what you're cosplaying.
Right, so, mention it. Yeah, so if you don't follow me on social media at all and haven't been seen, so day one, and also tomorrow for the last day of AX, I was Toka from Tokyo Ghoul. The Antiku version, which is the coffee shop uniform. Day two, yesterday, I was Petra for an hour, because the Attack on Titan cosplay belts are the most ridiculous things in existence.
Why are they so ridiculous?
I don't know. I have this belt set that's pretty accurate looking and really nice, as long as you are standing perfectly still and do not move. It takes me 4 hours to put them on, and if I move at all, then stuff is just falling off constantly. I learned that last year, and this year I tried to fix it with Velcro, that the Velcro parts worked really well, then everything else fell off. So it was terrible. So I did get one very good picture at the Cosmix booth, and actually, as we were taking the picture, the belts were literally falling off. So I'm glad I did get that one photo. So I'm really happy with it. And then I just I took the belts off, went and changed, and said, I'm done. So I was Petra for a very short amount of time. And then today I was Isabel from the Attack on Titan spinoff, A Choice with No Regrets. I was also Isabel last year and got almost no recognition, because I actually cosplayed her on the day the manga came out in English.
Wow.
So nobody knew who I was, except for some people who I ran into who were were friends now.
Did you like
those people?
did you ask last year, wait, what Attack on Titan character are you?
Last year I asked someone to take my picture, because Funimation, they had the license and they were selling the Blu-rays, and they had a big wall that was just the Colossal Titan and all that. So I asked someone to take my picture against that wall, and they asked me who I was cosplaying, and I said, oh, I'm an Attack on Titan character. And they kind of look at me funny, and they say, are you sure? Because Isabel's a pretty obscure character, even if you're in the fan base. I could understand, but it was kind of like, wow, rude. If you don't know the character, she does get, the Survey Corps uniform with the belts and everything, but because the belts are so annoying, I didn't want to wear that version, so I wore a different version. I wore the manga version. She works for the first house. She's got like a vest and green pants for some reason. I don't know. So I was wearing that. So I don't look like an Attack on Titan character. It's one of those things you have to know the character to recognize them. So this person was like, "Are you sure?" I'm like, "Yes, I am sure. I know I don't have the whole thing going on, but yes, I am." But I did run into people who recognized me last year, and that was awesome. So shout out to JP, Shiki, and Chessy for surviving the K-line last year. That was that day. But I wore again this year. I wore the OVA version this year, which that came out back in December, and then again earlier this year. I got a lot more recognition this year. I got a lot of people coming and telling me that Isabelle made them cry and things like that. Because it's Attack on Titan, so people die horribly, and she's one of those characters as well. Spoilers, if you're interested,
really?
I'm sorry.
I think it's a little bit too late now.
I feel the need to actually warn for that, because it's pretty grotesque. it's very morbid. It's one of the more morbid deaths in the series.
This is in No Regrets, correct?
This is in No Regrets. This is in the spinoff. Yeah, she's not in the main series for... very good reason.
Very good reason. She's dead.
So she's very dead. And so I wore the OVA version, and I got a lot of recognition. And I went to the meetup in the afternoon, and there were two other Isabels there, which was great, and a Levi who was cosplaying the No Regrets version of Levi as well. So that was really great. I was happy that it wasn't literally just me this year. And I got some really sweet pictures of her today as well.
I just realized this, but you tweeted earlier with on your Instagram your character with the parasite.
I did. I went to the parasite booth.
Now I get the context of that
now
tweet.
Now you get that. Yeah, so giant spoiler alerts for my Instagram.
Yeah, she gets eaten by a parasite. That is a spoiler. And
yes, that's what happens. I put that up on my Instagram and I went, crap. People don't have context for that, and also spoilers, but oh well. That was literally the reason why I went over there, just to make that joke. the Parasite booth that Sentai had set up, that was pretty sweet. I'm seeing that up close. I don't know how they made that, or whoever made that. I don't know if that person was wearing it made it, or something.
Should have asked.
I should have asked. It was really awesome. So, it looked very realistic. So it was kind of legitimately off-putting, so that was very cool.
So you know now that Parasite's going to be on Toonami, it makes me wonder now, by New York Comic Con, or maybe next year at AEX, how big will Parasite be?
Yeah.
Makes you wonder.
Yeah, so this convention has been a cosplay-oriented convention for me. Like I said earlier, I'm going to be Toka again tomorrow. I'm going to be at the Tokyo Ghoul meetup, meet some friends, go play in the ball pit. Do you know about the ball pit? Justin, have you heard about it?
I just think about DashCon.
DashCon was immediately after it. AX had a ball pit for the first time last year before DashCon. It's the original ball pit, and it's actually pretty awesome. It's not just this sad little pool on the grounds like DashCon.
Just a disclaimer, we weren't intending to trash DashCon, but it just came up. It just turned out that way.
They were very close together. But, you know, yeah, so the ball pit is a thing. There is a line for the ball pit here. It's very nice waiting. That's part of the cosplay sets that AX has going on. They have more this year. All very nice backdrops. So I've got that going on. I'm going to be at the meetup, and then I'm done. That's AX for now. Only other thing I did was I went to the Little Witch Academia premiere.
Yeah, how about that?
That was really good. I'm like, I'm so glad I threw money at this. I loved the first Little Witch Academia. I loved the Harry Potter vibe. I loved Trigger. I've loved Trigger for a long time. I've been a fan of that staff since before they were, you know, Trigger and adding Gainax and all that. So just that whole style was awesome. So the second that Kickstarter went up, I couldn't get it.
Lucky you.
And yeah, I actually had money at the time to throw at it, so definitely. I think like every other anime Kickstarter since, I'm like, I can't remember. I'm sorry, I wish I could. But that one I did, and they definitely had a lot, it feels like they had a lot of fun with it. There's a lot more world building to it. It was longer, you got more into the characters, their different abilities, how the world sees witches, that kind of thing. I'm not going to give out spoilers in case, you know, people want to watch it.
And also, I haven't watched it, so yeah.
Yeah, so I'm not, yeah, so I'm just going to talk very vaguely for people who haven't seen it yet, but they've got that whole Gainax style definitely comes out. It was funny, it was definitely entertaining, really, really amusing. The audience really got into it. There were a lot of laughs. There's a lot of, you know, cheering and yelling and all that kind of, you know, fun stuff. They were patrolling pretty heavily in there for people recording. There was a guy sitting next to me who had his 3DS, and then it started running out of battery power, so it started flashing red. They were on him immediately. What is that? Are you recording? And he's like, no, it's my 3. They're like, oh, okay, put it away. But they were roaming in there. They were on people about that. So when you told me that somebody put up the upload after the download went up, which they started the download on stage immediately before they started playing it for us, which was interesting. But you told me the download that they cut off like the last 15 minutes or something.
Apparently, like, it was a 50-minute video, but it was only 35 minutes on the download.
Oh, man.
So wherever they, like, left off, apparently it cut somewhere. Yeah.
I saw on Twitter people, oh, no, the Daily Motion video is short or whatever. Like, that's what you get for piracy.
Yeah, that's what you get for piracy. But wait a minute. Just to add to that, some was, like, thinking, like, oh, it's anime DLC. You gotta download the 15 minutes just to finish everything.
But it was interesting because we really did see it first. I was wondering when they're up on the stage, you know, they press the button to start to download. I was like, I wonder if people are able to download it and finish it before we're able to watch the whole thing. I was genuinely curious, and I found out, no, we actually were the first ones to see the whole thing.
before we, like, move on. There was a guy playing a 3DS while in the Little Witch Academia.
Oh, people do. Well, I'm sure you've seen it. People, like, they play it in line. They play it while they're waiting. There was a long waiting period. They packed that room. They packed Little Witch Academia full. So when I got in, I had several seats next to me on either side. They filled them all up. The guy with the 3DS, there are actually people on 3DSs. Everywhere on either side of me who were playing them while they were waiting for them to get the panel started.
That's fine. You can play it before the panel started.
No, he wasn't playing it during the panel. He had it closed and it was on his lap and it started flashing red. That's
okay, good. I was about to judge.
No,
I was about to judge this person.
if he had been playing it, I would have hit this guy. What's wrong with you? We got it right
it's
here.
Like, you know, you can just play 3DS outside of the room.
Yeah. There was a guy on his laptop in front of me. I have no idea what he was doing.
Maybe we could hope that was a press guy.
That was a press guy. I don't know what's going on there, but no, 3DS guy. It was close. So, they packed that room full and got started pretty quickly. I don't know if that's the next thing you want to talk about, because I want to talk about the way they've handled the lines and panels and stuff this year, because it's different from how they did it last year and every other year I've been here.
I don't know, it just feels unusual. That's what I would say.
Well, you talk about your impressions. This is your first AX, so you don't have anything to compare it to.
Thanks for spoiling this. I think I mentioned this already, but yeah. First AX, first time getting on a plane. It was definitely exciting because I was like, Anime Expo has been one of the conventions I've wanted to go to for a while. Even despite Lion Con. Hearing stories, horror stories of people waiting 3 to 4 hours on a line in the sun, which I should add, it's been really cold.
It's been cooler. It's been a lot cooler this year.
It's been pretty cool this year.
Last year I felt like I was frying alive, and this year it's not that bad. So
I don't get it. You guys in your LA weather, I'm just like, whatever. But anyways. So Thursday I come in and I'm on the plane. I come off the plane, I'm just hurting. I'm literally like, my right side is in pain. Jaw was hurting. My my cheeks felt like they were puffing out, like, I don't know, like pufffish. Do they feel like that or whatever? I don't know. But it was bad. And my ears starting to, by the end, the ears started to just go. And I'm just like, what is happening?
All the pressure and stuff.
It was horrible. So Thursday was kind of bad. And then as the plane ride got on, I did start to feel better. But it was basically, my face was just annoyed the entire day. Still didn't stop me from getting to the convention late. I was gonna go to the Viz panel, but I definitely didn't make it then. I didn't even get to the hotel until like 1:10. So yeah, like the plane ride got there a decent time, but it was a long time before got left out, and then I had to figure out how to get to the place. Was thinking, oh man, I can get the shuttle or something like that. There was a shuttle to the Westin, not the Westin Bonaventure.
Yeah.
So,
I was a little concerned about you with LAX and all that. I'm like, it's a little interesting to navigate.
So I had bad luck with that. Just eventually I had to take a cab and waste a lot of money getting over here. That may have been the most expensive thing, to get over here, just to get to the hotel.
Yeah.
It felt like, but, got to a hotel late, I say. But then after that, the very first thing I did, or one of the first things I did, instead of going to the convention, I ended up having an interview with Ben Applegate. He is an associate director at Random House. So that's literally the first thing I did instead of going straight to the convention, I did an interview. That is a theme. I did a lot of interviews this year. I think this is the most, no. Let's see. New York Comic Con, I did Tampa. Okay, I think I'm tied with interviews from New York Comic Con to Anime Expo. And I was supposed to interview one other person, that fell through. And I wanted to interview another person from Digital Manga, because there's some questions I gotta ask them, but wasn't able to do that. But otherwise, I spoke with Ben, as I said, found out about some stuff about Noragami. That's apparently been doing pretty well for them. They're gonna send the first one to reprint, and then they basically announced
that, really good.
Like, I found out Thursday, but they announced Saturday that they're gonna move up the release to like Attack on Titan levels.
Wow.
Yeah. So like
it's doing,
now
it's doing
yes.
good.
Oh, yeah.
That's
like
good, cause I really enjoy that. I enjoyed the anime. So that's doing well for them. That's good to hear.
The way he was avoiding certain questions, I would say. Makes me wonder. Like, I asked him, hey, so how are you going to top, like, Miki Yoshikawa is here at New York, at Anime Expo. How are you going to top that at, like, New York Comic Con or stuff like that? And he's like, stay tuned. It's like,
Let the speculation.
Well, yeah, but I can speculate. Obviously, like, the way he made it sound like it made me think. New York Comic Con. Hajime Isayama. I'll be like, okay, yes. And second thing, Muse.
Yeah. Then I gotta come over here. I gotta figure out a way out here.
You're like, yeah, sorry. You're.
I'd have to come out and just but, be like, just getting this. Why? Yeah. You've ruined my life.
Yeah. One suggestion I never thought of, but I didn't. It was something that I met the Nibley twins. They're the translators of Persona Q, UQ Holder. Noragami. Yes, there are the translators of Noragami. They even have this complicated, or not complicated, so don't kill me, but translation notes in the volumes and editions. But they suggested maybe Ken Akamatsu might be a possibility. So I'm like, never thought about that either.
That would be interesting.
So, I know
have
they
can. Have you been to a US con?
I don't know.
But that would definitely.
I definitely know it's not near the Comic Con, that's for sure.
Yeah.
So that would be interesting. So we'll see on that. But hopefully I can work on an interview and a bunch of interviews later in the week or later next week, a couple weeks. I spoke with Lauren Moore. She's the social media coordinator at Funimation. So I got some interesting responses from her. Interviewed Tiffany Chen, senior brand manager. at a Crunchyroll. Trying to think, there's one thing I could spoil right now. What was it? Case Closed. Okay, I got nothing. Just gonna have to wait till I listen to it again and transcribe it and figure out what she said. But I think it was a very interesting conversation because we went into why they moved from anime and manga, our anime and drama membership, to now we have Premium and Premium Plus.
Yeah.
And it ties into how now that they're like inviting others, like doing convention perks, like doing more convention trips and stuff like that, they're providing more perks. And the reason why you're subscribing for $11.95 as opposed to just getting the anime and just subscribing for $6.95.
Yeah, and I found that interesting that they moved to that. So that'll be interesting. That'll be interesting to read. So I feel like Crunchyroll really, I know they get a lot of like flack and kind of mixed reactions from some people who are more deeply entrenched in the anime community because of their past with piracy and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I feel like they really try very hard to get, what the fans really want, to make it easier to not pirate.
Right.
And it's definitely easier for me to not pirate. I got to the point where I'm just like, it's not on Crunchyroll, Hulu, whatever. It's not somewhere easily accessible. I'm just like, I'm just not watching it. I'm not hunting down the piracy site to watch this anymore. This is much easier for me. So I feel like they do their job well.
We'll say anyway. Oh, right, I talked to Kurt Hassler. He's the director at Yen Press. I basically just asked him about Prison School. That's it. That's all I need to ask him. Nothing about Yen On and how their light novels are doing. Apparently, better than I expected.
Good.
Like, obviously, Sword Art was going to do really well.
Yeah.
It looks like the entire line is doing pretty well. I did ask him about Yoamushi Petal. It's like, really? You know the history of manga. His response was kind of interesting, and it kind of challenges like the other companies a little bit. So that
yeah.
Just got all Mario over here, Jerry Springfield. But that was an interesting interview I did there. Yeah, that should be about it. The
so
only
you
other
really
thing
experience LionCon outside of the
Right.
Outside of like the exhibit hall and that is, which I have to say like the Thursday when you got in, that was the busiest Thursday I have seen in the past 4 years I've been here, so that was that's the busiest I have seen it personally. I don't know if other people had other experiences, but I was just like, I put a vine up. I think it was I don't know anymore as the days of playing cards. I put a vine up like, I am not going down there. I was up at the top of the stairs and I just, like, I thought, well, maybe I can get down to it, and I saw the sea of people.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, nah.
I think it had to be yesterday, like Friday. Somebody I followed just put a picture of the convention. It was just like a mass of people there.
Usually, and I've done this with my past convention coverage where I'll try to get to the top of the stairs at the South Hall and take a picture every day. To try and compare the crowds, and it's like, here's Thursday, and it's kind of like, it's a big crowd, but not that, there's a lot of people, but it's not completely packed, and then Friday's a little more packed, and then Saturday is just a sea of people. This time, every day, it's a sea of people.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my god, it's getting even bigger. How is this possible?
Yes. it almost reminds me of Comic-Con, except it's with people that I know, like, well, as far as it's targeted to anime and manga.
This is anime.
Yeah, basically.
it's getting to those levels. I was hearing people say this might be the biggest in the
Yeah, I've been hearing that too.
In the nation at this point,
maybe? Wow, I've heard that.
I've heard that. I don't know if that's accurate, but I'm pretty sure it's the biggest on the West Coast at this point. But I mean, you're like wall to wall, like convention center of people. It's impressive.
I think the only one other thing that it's not an interview, it's a feature I want to try to work on. Crunchyroll's been like trying to like do these videos where they have advertisements of their jobs, and they also been having like they do they saw this video of life at Crunchyroll, the Crunchyroll offices, One of the videos that I watched talked about, or one of the people in the video said, we need more engineers. So I'm like, why? Sounds like something I should get to the bottom of. So I'm not sure where I'm going to go with this future just yet, but I did talk to a former engineer at Crunchyroll. You'll know who she is if you watch the video. I won't necessarily say her name. But it was very interesting. Like, I think the only thing I'll spoil right now is that if they get more engineers, especially for the positions that they need, they can actually, it'll be a major factor in them streaming more worldwide. Like, it can actually go to more countries if they can actually get more engineers. Like, it's always like this thing that I know, like, most companies, they say they need engineers. But it's like, well, what is an engineer? And why does it concern me? And all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, I'm still working on that. I gotta see where I want to go with it. Hopefully, I can't make any promises. That'll be like done immediately. So many stuff I want to do. I gotta transcribe all of this anyway. So all the interviews I've done. So I can only hope. I'll make a deadline of mid August, maybe early, maybe late July or early August. I'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see.
We gotta recuperate.
Yeah.
But the last thing I want to talk about is how Ryan Mannix was handling the lines.
Yes, we need to get to
that. Compared to all the other years I've been.
I think. Let me go first, just from my perspective,
because I'm
first time.
Yeah, you go from your perspective. Because you said it was a little different from what you're used
to.
No,
it's not necessarily. Well, okay. I think the first thing that's different is that I've been to like New York Comic Con.
Yeah.
Every time I go there, you just get a press. Like, I apply for press, get it for free. That's it.
All
you have no other privileges aside from that. Here, you can actually like use your press. I can use my press pass. You have a press and premiere line. It's basically separate from the actual line. So basically, if you're any of that, you get in first.
Yep.
That I like, because first of all, it makes you think, okay, they actually care about you, and then it makes you think, okay, they want you to do your job properly.
Yeah, there is like a segregation of you are press, you are covering this panel.
Yes, that is basically what it's like. The weird thing is that it felt like some of the volunteers or whatever, they didn't know how to handle the lines appropriately.
Oh, that's every year. Yeah, I'll talk about that later. That's every year.
Okay, but I think it was like the vertical panel I went to. Like, they were telling people that the exit was this way when it actually wasn't. They weren't supposed to go that way. There was actually something that happened today. Let me see if I can remember properly. It may have been the Kodansha panel. Right, it was the Kodansha panel. And they had this weird line where they said it was press and premiere here, but I saw plenty of people with 4-day passes on the line. And then after I realized this, I had to go back to the person to try to make sure of this, but I got help with somebody that was already in the line. So thankfully that was helpful. And after I got in the line, there was people with 4-day passes wondering where the line was, and they were told they had to go somewhere else. So I was weird. Like, I think back to New York Comic Con, it was probably easier the way that they just like had people. It's just a line,
right.
Even if you're press, ban, whatever,
so
line.
There's no
confusion, no distinction. That's it. But I don't know. It just felt weird.
Yeah.
I guess now you can explain.
Yeah, because with those things that you mentioned, like, how many times did you experience that kind of stuff? It's just like once or twice, or like.
Let's see, it kind of for most of the panels I went to, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it felt like there was some confusion, or they didn't know exactly what. Well, I mean, granted, you can't expect them to know what all the panels and stuff but, like, it was hilarious. Kind of hilarious. I think the Kodansha panel was going to come up, but every time one of the volunteers referred to it as comics. It's just little things. Like, I don't know, just something nagging, I guess.
Right, and that's actually a pretty common thing for Anime Expo with, like, because the volunteer staff, like you know, like, they're working for that. They are all volunteers and everything. And, there is always, like, that confusion on some level every time. I will say that this year, as compared to the other years, I find they're much faster about clearing up those confusions and communicating advantage to the rest of the people in line as compared to other years. I've experienced things where like someone will tell me the line is over here and it's for a completely different thing. I've had saying, oh, we're waiting to start the line over here, and then they let all the other people in the panel got in just by waiting for 3 hours. I don't think they had, I mean, the only thing I really waited for was Louisville Jack Academia, but they had like rooms they put us in where you wait for the line to start, then you go to another room and wait for that line, and so that's where LineCon comes from. I don't know if they did that this year, because that wasn't really my experience, because last year was the worst line I experienced, and honestly the worst run and saw. I don't want to be harsh, and yet that was the worst. I will talk about the K-movie line for the rest of my life, probably, because it was terrible.
I'm pretty sure, like, the only...
We got there, I was with a group of people, we got there early, we were told you're not allowed to line up yet, we were sent away, we came back, the line had already started and was capped, after we came back when they told us that they were starting the line. Then we had to sit outside, not in the shade, in direct sunlight. And the only thing that saved us was one of the people in my group had an umbrella. Thank God. There was shade. They refused to move the line to the shade despite the fact that there was nothing there. We waited there for several hours. There was no communication to us from the staff. Again, this was last year, not this year. Just to reiterate, in case you're like zoning in and out, this was not this year. But there was no communication about what was going on, whether we were actually going to get in the panel or the movie at all. The thing ahead of us, I think it was Sailor Moon, I don't remember, something was ahead of us that was also very big, so they were having two back-to-back premiere things, and it ran over, which actually ended up cutting off the K-movie panel short. There was supposed to be a music performance, and we only got one song. So this Japanese band came out, and they were going to perform like a whole set, apparently. They only got to perform one song. So it was a mess. This year, just to compare, this year, Little Witch Academia panel, the line started when they said it would. I kept revisiting and asking staffers when the line was starting, but because of last year, I was paranoid, so I kept coming back. It did start when it was supposed to. Very clear communication. The Funimation panel was before us. They moved the Funimation people through. They were very clear about this is where Little Witch Academia starts. Get in line. There was constant communication about what was going on, where the line was capped, our chances of getting in. We were being constantly updated on that. They put us in the shade. Thank God.
No more baking in the sun.
And it just moved really quickly, really efficiently. There was some miscommunication from the staff. I mentioned this to you, that I didn't know that the room would not be cleared. Before, like, I'd heard that there were non-clearing rooms. I'd asked the staffer before I came to line up if the room was going to be cleared. I was told by the volunteer, oh, yeah, they're clearing the room. Don't worry about it. Just come back from the line. That was not one of the non-clearing rooms. I actually saw that volunteer later helping with the line, like, I'm sorry. They're not clearing the room. I'm sorry. It's like, I thought that they were, but they're not. So, and I feel terrible for her. But there was much better communication. And just the overall, the way that they fixed the problems compared to last year, they definitely stepped it up. I said several times online and to you that, like, I'll believe it when I see it. And
you see it.
I saw it. So that was cool. And also, they also delivered to just on that same day. They also delivered on actually getting the badges. I did not wait 3 hours for my badge this year. I literally walked up and got my badge. And I was like, am I having a fever dream? Is this a hallucination? Is this actually real life?
It's like somebody said on Twitter, Eventbrite killed it. They killed the lines.
They did. They killed the line. I love the plastic badges. because previously they were paper folded in a plastic thing, and that was one of the things that always held up the line, was they printed out the paper and then they had to fold it, and the printers constantly broke and things like that. So it's just plastic badge. You do not have to have your real name on it if you don't want to, which is awesome if you're someone who'd rather go by a screen name. And it just, I just literally walked in about that. I don't remember over that. After waiting 3 hours, getting used to a 3-hour wait in the heat, just being able to literally walk in and get my badge and leave was awesome. So, yay, thank you, Eventbrite.
I think just one thing I want to add, that's another thing I forgot to mention. You said like the lines, everything started on time. I actually have the opposite experience.
Really?
Some of the panels I went to did not start on time. In fact, like the vertical panel I went to, it started late. They had the Bushwick panel in there, I believe, and then the vertical panel, that started late. Pronouncer's panel today started kind of late. Crunchyroll panel that I went to in the morning started kind of late. So that was weird.
Well, I mean, I think the things I did go to started a little late, but I think because I only had two things I really wanted to go to, which was Little Jacadimia and the Good Smile Company panel, that I didn't really notice, which I mentioned earlier, another thing difference from what I've noticed from previous years, there is a panel going on in the room, they're not letting you in if it started. That had always been my experience, even room or whatever, I always get turned away by a staffer. Once it started, no, you can't go in. This year, I wanted to get there early for the Good Smile panel. Biz was going on. I'm like, they're not going to let me in. I'm just like, go on in. You don't care. Just go on in. So, so that's how I ended up there for those things, which was cool anyway. I was like, I'm here for the figure panel, but sure. So things like that, this panel was not very full at all. Like, they had the whole front, I mean, that sounds bad, but they were in a giant room, for those of you listening, they have to understand. They were in one of the big main event rooms, so it was huge in there, so they filled up the whole front section, part of the middle section, so it was decently full, but not packed. So they just waved me in, so I thought that was another kind of surreal moment, like, really? We're not being like that this year, that's
yes.
That's really good.
Alright, we'll take a little break. This is going on kind of long.
Yeah.
Maybe when we come back, a lot of stuff happened. Maybe when we come back, we'll actually talk about what we bought.
Yes.
By the way, I bet you Muse is going to have a lot of trouble bringing your stuff back home. Just letting it know. Letting it know right now. What is this thing about the cosplay is your waifu is trash?
Yeah.
What is this? Why is this a thing?
So for those of you, if you don't follow me on Twitter,
at Subdued Fangirl.
Yeah, at Subdued Fangirl. Thursday morning, day one of the con, I tweeted a picture of a guy who was literally wearing a trash can. He had a sign plastered across the front that said, "Your waifu is trash." And he had pictures of popular waifus in the Twitter sphere and just anime fandom in general. He had everything from Hestia to Fate Stay Night. And there was some Katoa Shoujo on the back too, even, so we had a good spread there. I actually almost completely missed him, because it was, as I mentioned earlier with Justin, it was just a sea of people. It was way more than what I was expecting, way more than what I personally seen on day one. So I was just trying to get through the crowd. And then I hear this guy behind me just go, "Hey, waifu trash guy, can I get a picture of you?" And I'm like, "What?" Because, I mean, you usually get people, like, shouting character names or stuff like that when they want pictures. But I'm like, "Waifu trash guy, what?" And I turn around, and there's this guy literally wearing a trash can. and we're like in the food court area. So he's like, oh yeah, I can't picture, let's go over here. I'm literally next to a trash can, so this is perfect. And so he like does a pose where he's kicking the trash can, and I'm like, this is too perfect. So I ask him if I can get a picture too. I take the picture, you know, thank you, like that's hilarious. I walk a couple steps away and I'm like, I gotta tweet this. I tweet it. My phone has been blowing up all weekend since I tweeted that picture. I've got 313 retweets on it.
Should be
314. I tweeted, AX is over. I found the best cosplayer in house. Day one morning, because I'm like, that is the funniest thing.
Wait, what's the hashtag?
I hashtag your waifu is trash, yes. So I saw him again before in the hall. I didn't say it, but I saw him again in the hallway before Little Witch Academia, and a lot of people were kind of taking his picture, and he seemed to be having a lot of fun, so I hope he's getting the recognition he deserves. Waifu is trash guy, if you are listening, who are you? I need to know who you are so I can give you credit. Because I just put your picture on social media. I'm not responsible for your genius. I need to know who you are. I've just been consistently getting Twitter notifications like all weekend. It's been like varying text messages and stuff because people keep tweeting like, oh, so-and-so, is this you? Or like, oh, this is the best thing ever, that kind of stuff. But
that was
hilarious.
If you just turn off notifications on your Twitter, you wouldn't be getting so many notifications.
No, because I'm trying. I get messages from other people through Twitter. That's one of the ways. That's my only contact with some people who are at the con right now. So I need to leave those on. But it's been fun to watch it blow up though. At the same time, so
fine.
It's fun. Fine. But there's always like that one like kind of joke cosplayer where I'm like, okay, that's pretty good. I hate that.
Oh hey, by the way, we're back. After that break. So before we continue on with AX shenanigans, I just want to point out, this is actually the first time I've actually, organization ASG meetup actually occurred.
Yes.
We're usually like have writers that are not in the United States, we have one in France, have one in England, or the UK, I guess.
I'm the only one on the West Coast that I'm aware of. At least in Southern California.
You have online. He's in the West Coast.
Okay, that's right.
We did used to have a wife that was also in the West Coast, but she's moved on now.
Right.
Aside from that, like, I don't usually organize these meetups, but all it takes, just listen, guys, it takes one person to do one crazy thing.
Get on
everything
the plane.
Get on the plane. To change the life of one person. This is what happens. So this is pretty cool. Meeting Muse for the first time. Actually knowing who she really is.
Yes.
Aside from her kind of whining on Twitter about her work schedule and
things
falling
off the face of the earth, thanks to school.
Like putting subdued figures on like permanent or indefinite hiatus. Until finally coming back to that. This was basically a very, this is pretty good. Definitely pretty good. I'm pretty sure she has regrets though.
Speaking of the figure panel for Subdued Figures, I got the Mako exclusive from AX. So that'll be the next review. They had the Nendoroid 500 exhibit, which is every single Nendoroid release date up through number 500. I got pictures of all of them. I will have a gallery up of that. I had the pictures mostly in order. I tried to get names where I could. It was a very popular exhibit. There were a ton of people there, so there's some weird angles in there where I'm trying to get around other people. That was cool. The GSC panel was really interesting. It was stuff that I kind of heard of before, like on the various blogs GSC runs and things like that. But the panel is about their process of making, how they take characters and make them into figures and different things that go into like a scale figure versus the deformed Nendoroid models. Things like that was all very interesting to hear. And they had pictures of the slides from that panel where I was doing Nendoroid exhibits. That was very cool to see. So I really enjoyed that. The panel itself was very good. So I'll have all kinds of stuff on all of that up hopefully within the next couple of weeks once I recuperate from all the cosplay and
all
everything
cosplay.
Else that's going on, getting through all of the wig hell. Paid off. I got a lot of compliments on it.
Yeah. That's all you got from the convention?
Jeez, I'm probably forgetting something. I know I'm forgetting something. other stuff I got. I got the Mako Nendoroid. I got another Nendoroid. I got a small Levi figure because I have a problem and I'm not ashamed to admit that. I used to have a rule that I could only get one figure per character, and that rule is shattered into pieces. I'm trying to do a mental count of how many Levi figures I have now. I don't know. I just keep buying them. I can't help myself.
You can't just stop buying a Attack on Titan stuff.
No, I cannot. I'm too obsessed. Levi is the husbando. I see stuff, I'm like, I need it. It's in my pressure to get it. I'm not so far gone that I will bankrupt myself. I do have a budget.
Are you sure about that?
I am sure. I do have a budget. I will stay within it, but if I see that stuff, I'm like, I need that. On that same vein, I got the Bushiroad by Schwartz Attack on Titan booster set, which released at the convention first. I got that. I got CDs. Attack on Titan CD.
This has a theme.
Yes. I got the. I got this soundtrack for the Choice with No Regrets OVA. Because that version has some English singing in it. The OVA only had the German version, which I don't speak German, but many people have told me it's terrible. So I'm like, okay, the English is a little wonky, but I'm okay with it. I can live with it. So now I have music to cry to. I also got the Death Parade CD because it was there.
Finally, something that's not Titan related.
Not Titan, yeah. We're getting not Titan related stuff now. Death Parade CD. Music I can dance to while crying.
Why are you crying?
If you've seen that show, you know what I mean. Very
Stop
catchy
crying.
Theme song, yeah. That is my life. That is fangirl life, is crying. I got a bunch of Fire Emblem Awakening prints from Artist Alley. I got Token Rangu keychains. That's threatening to be my new obsession. If you don't know what Token Rangu is, it's Kantai collection, but for girls. So I am eating my words on Kantai collection, because I looked at Kantai collection and I was like, it doesn't really seem to be a thing. And then Token Rambo came out, I'm like, now I get it. It's just a random number generator clicking, but you can't stop. I got keychains from that at Artist Alley. I got a bunch of prints, cosplay prints from the cosplay schools, which I talked about earlier. So I think that's it. I think that's everything I
know. Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Sure there's no more Titan lurking somewhere in there.
There probably is. I forgot about it.
Well, alright, well, let's continue on with the Titan theme. I got the light novel version of Kukil Unbound that Vertigo is releasing. So I'm definitely looking forward to that, because I like the Before the Fall light novel.
Yeah,
releasing.
That was really good, because the manga version is Kukil Unbound. So the first one was new stuff for me, and I'm interested in seeing how the novel and the manga compare.
So definitely good stuff. So now I'm done with Titan. That is it. No more Titan. Unless Muse brings
it up. You're not as obsessed.
Not
even remotely.
I am kind of obsessed with Kill la Kill, which is why I'm giving Aniplex all my money. Sorry Aniplex haters. But look at it this way. This is the only series I'm willing to throw down money to. And it was actually kind of cheap for their standards. Like, it was $60 for the limited edition.
Oh, wow.
So, volume two. So, hey, I had the first one. This was pretty cheap, so I said, oh, might as well get that. I ended up buying My Hero Academia, which is basically where this guy, he wants to be like a hero. This entire world has a bunch of heroes at different levels, but he has no hero powers. Until he meets this one guy, and then he's suddenly able to actually get hero powers. It's so weird, because the actual hero is kind of weird, because he's really heroic and all that stuff. But actually, when he doesn't have his heroic powers, he's kind of like a bum. Doesn't really seem like original or anything like that. I admit, I only read like the first like couple of either chapter one or chapter two or whatever that Shonen Jump had published before they ended up trying to catch up to the Japanese edition, Japanese chapters. And I was like, nope, can't do it. I mean, I used to be able to do that where I was just like, all right, I'm going to be kind of illegal and just go online and just wait it. And then I said, no, I could just wait until the volume comes out. It's supposed to actually come out in August, but Viz was selling it early, so I said, okay, I must have bought it. Gonna buy it yesterday. They didn't have it. All right, I was determined to get it early this morning. Got it. So, I'm looking forward to finally reading it and seeing all... Kohei... I forgot the artist. The artist of this Dip Barrage and this Zoo manga that never got published here, but it was a really interesting manga that was ready. And Barrage was inconsistent at best for my taste. So it's nice to see that this is doing really well in Japan. So it makes sense that Viz has it. So looking forward to that. Let's see. I bought The World God Only Knows, the Goddess Arc. That would be the third season. Makes sense. I bought the first season, got the second season. It only makes sense for a guy with the handle of Kami Nomi, that'd be Kami _ Nomi, as his Twitter name, to finally complete the anime trifecta.
At this point.
Like, I may not even like, honestly, like, it's not like my favorite series of all time, but it has an interesting character for me. And some of it is interesting enough, but I like it, so I feel like I had to go get it. Let's see, what else did I get? I have the last volume of Maria the Virgin Witch. I bought the third volume of Arsalan that Kodansha has. Both of the titles are Kodansha. Oh, actually, I was continuing Kodansha. I should have a copy of A Silent Voice, Volume 1. I had a one-shot, I heard, that was really popular, and then Kodansha decided to bring the whole thing over, and I'm going to find out how that's like. And I bought, Vinland Saga, Book 3. Vinland Saga has an interesting history. Obviously, like, the first thing when I heard that it was going to be announced, it was kind of skepticism, because that type of manga does not usually do well over in the States. Which is weird, because we always ask for more mature manga, but then when they come out with the mature manga, it doesn't sell that well. So,
That's a series that's definitely built on the strength of this family.
Yeah.
It's just that the people buying it are really keeping it.
Yeah, so, like, it got suspended indefinitely at one point. Then they bought it back. And then at the panel today, they had mentioned that, okay, book 6 and 7 are definitely coming. Book 8, it's up to you guys. We need your help. That's usually something you don't really want to hear, but I guess they have to tell it as it is. It's always kind of on. I guess it's them being honest, but it makes you wonder, like, how do you keep bringing these manga over and they don't really do that well?
Shows at least they're trying. Because we talked about earlier, you know, with people asking about more obscure titles just being completely, you know, shut down. It's like, no, we're not doing that. We can't. Or just, you know, there's stuff getting cut off. It didn't sell well, so that's it. You know, so at least they're like, you know, hey, you want it? This is what you have to do. At least they're being honest about that. You know, like, and I understand you can't always talk about those kind of things because of contracting. had, they're relying on the fan base to keep it going.
I'm pretty sure I bought some other manga. I did buy like a digital manga title that we did Digital Manga Publishing. Osamu Tezuka's Captain Ken. Captain Ken Volume 1 was interesting. It basically, it's a little bit of a spin of Mars, where on Mars, you know, like you would think, oh, you got advanced people, aliens. They exist in this manga, but they've been taken over by the humans. Like, the humans have basically enslaved them. It's pretty bad. And for some weird reason, it's being set, like, the designs and everything is set, like, in the West, the Wild Wild West. So you have horses, you have gunmen, got them in, it's like, what in the world? And out of nowhere, you have this guy coming in from space who calls himself Captain Ken. He has a mission to try and, like, unite the humans and the Earthlings and the aliens together. Like, they shouldn't be against each other so much. So, interesting Tezuka manga, that's for sure. Like, I was actually kind of skeptical because this is based off a Kickstarter. Traditional manga is just like, every time I think of them, they're always Kickstarting something for Tezuka. Yes. Like, I unfortunately made a joke where, they were looking for Digital Manga was looking for a Tezuka marketing specialist, and I was like, they're gonna kickstart that too. So, it's a business strategy, obviously. It maybe works for them, but it feels kind of like, okay, other companies are licensing it, but not them. It's kind of weird. But Captain Ken was really good. That first volume was very interesting. So I guess, like, yeah, like, even, like, I don't think most people consider this like Tezuka's grade A level manga, but
yeah,
hey,
it's not one of those ones that comes up.
Yeah, but if it's like if this is B or C level manga, then I wonder what his worst manga really is.
Yeah, that's the thing with Tezuka. You get like his B and C level is still like AAA.
Yeah, it's still like better than like 80% of the manga output sometimes. So yeah, I got that.
I'm just fandom trash over here, and you're getting like cool manga. I'm just like Artist Alley.
Yeah, still got stuff by the hours. That's gonna be the one thing I'm probably definitely gonna do Sunday.
There's some cool stuff.
Yeah, Artist Alley is one.
I remember the other stuff.
All right.
From Artist Alley. Oh my god, they had those. Oh my god, but you know those people who do the 8-bit figures with beads.
Okay.
They're like, you know, they do like a magnet style and that kind of stuff. I got some Pokemon ones from them, and I got a Dongo plushie from Planet.
Okay.
And just like the little Dongo things. So I got that. Those were all from Artist Alley. So, the Dongo plushie was just, I literally turned around and I saw it and it was impulse buying. So, I haven't seen those in years. So.
Okay. And that was it.
Pretty sure that was it now. Yeah, just talking about Artist Alley, I'm like, oh yeah, there's all kinds of cool stuff in
there. Can I try to spend enough time there and then head over? I want to just walk over to the Empress panel and just be like, oh hey, Press. Okay, that's
probably,
it.
Yeah.
That's it. And then after that, I may stop by the Crunchyroll manga panel. Maybe what I might do, depending on time, I may just stay for their announcements. Sorry, guys, but just stay for their announcements. Like, if it's Jiaifu, I'm just gonna lose my mind. Okay, no, I'll professionally be like, they licensed Jiaifu. Then I'll just be tweeting at Muse. They licensed Jiaifu.
We'll be screaming all over social media. Probably by the time this podcast comes out, we'll have already known what happened.
Yes.
If that happens, we'll be screaming all over social media.
Yeah, so, like, by then.
Yeah,
like,
if that happens, you need to text me about that. So I'll probably be at the Cosplay Meetup or something, and then I'll start screeching and people will think I lost my mind. So
gonna need to, like, what did I have, the Periscope or whatever? Just Periscope reaction.
I should Periscope my reaction. I'll freak out all the other Tokyo Ghoul cosplayers.
Okay, and then after that, it's supposed to plan lunch with somebody, and I need to go back to New York. I need to go back. Oh my god, it's gonna be so late back in New York. Like, get on my flight. It's gonna be like 12 or something like that at New York. And then of course my mom's gonna go to work. It's gonna be really hilarious. Can I come in? Hey, Ma. Oh, sorry for waking you up. Not my intention, but hey. So yeah, that's pretty much my Sunday. Your Sunday's gonna be pretty interesting too, right?
Yeah, because I just said again, possibly I gotta get out of the hotel at 10, meet up with some people, going to cosplay meet, and yeah, like I said earlier, Toka again. So that should be fun. Hopefully I'll get some more good pictures.
So I guess just to like end this podcast, it's been pretty going on pretty long, and over here it's like 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
East Coast time, it's like, it should be like 2.
Yeah, that's where I'm like, what?
Like, I'm not even sure, like, as if I need to be jet lagged anymore. But, that's some things we should talk about, like, what can AX do to improve? I guess, like, one of the first thing is, like, obviously the line thing they solved pretty much perfectly.
Yeah.
That's been done.
Keep
Eventbrite. Yeah. Sign it to like a 5 to 10 year contract.
Yeah. Keep Eventbrite. Keep
done.
Intense.
Yeah.
Keep the bullhorns. So that was one of the ways that they were able to communicate more effectively, because in previous years I've just had people running the lines just trying to yell over everyone, and that never ends well, really. Just doesn't work out. So the fact that they had the bullhorns was cool. I don't know if that was just people brought them into the ones I was at, or that's actually a thing that the staff decided to do, that was good. So keep all of that for sure. I have no idea what goes on with the, you know, volunteer stuff, with how they do communications and stuff, but I think continue working on making sure there's not the miscommunications between the staff members. I mean, I know that they like rotate out with shifts and everything, but keep working on those lines of communication, making sure everything's consistent, that everybody's getting not just consistent information, but the right information about the panel that they're getting into. I think that's the most important thing they need to focus on, which is a lot better than where we were last year, where I was just like, I almost died of heat stroke to see an anime movie, what's happening. So huge improvement. So it's like, I think it's just tweaking stuff.
I would just say, one thing I noticed is that they have, like, bag checks, this year. Oh, I mean, most conventions, they do a bag check, but this was weird in the fact that, some say they prevented having outside, people bringing outside food into the convention. I don't know if that was true or not, because I technically did that and got away with it.
I brought a giant bag full of trail mix
and water
and stuff in every day, and they did not care.
Yeah, okay.
I will say that the first year that they did the bag check, they were telling people to throw out their water bottles and throw out their food, and then there was a riot on social media and in person. And so now they don't do that. I think they just kind of check in general. Though I don't know if you noticed, when like later in the day, they just kind of wave people through.
I have noticed
that part. I'm a little like check my bag. I don't care. I want to keep everybody safe. But if like they're checking my bag at 10 in the morning, I come back, like I leave and come back at like 3, and they're just like, go ahead. I don't feel safe anymore. You know, it's a little concerning. So, but that's always been a thing with the bag check for so long. So I don't know why it is. Right. They get tired.
Yeah, I don't know. Okay, but speaking of safety. But I was just saying, like, bag check is weird. They don't have bag check for certain places in the convention. Like, for example, in that big entrance, like we go up, like, I don't know if you, I'm trying to describe this correctly, like, there's a, it's like around the 301, theater area or something like that, or like 301, 5, 10 or something like that. We're there, you have an escalator, and then, basically where the shuttles are at. That shuttle location right there. Like, they have people with bag checks there. But there's, like, a door right there. Like, you walk far enough, there's a door right there. You just walk past the bag check and go straight in. Nobody's there to check the bags. So you wouldn't think, oh, it's a safety issue there. But, hey, you never know. But then, if you go past the Staples Center, by the way, I should just point out, even if you're not an anime fan or whatever, go to the Staples Center, go to the historical statues, take pictures of legendary basketball players. Just go do that.
Oh, yeah, there's just all kinds of cool stuff.
Yeah, just go do that. But you go past there to, like, the generic LA Convention Center where the parking lot is at.
Yeah.
You can go back there, no security really at all, go up the stairs. It's a lot of stairs, by the way.
Yeah.
Go up there, no back check. Not even, like, anybody really there.
I think the one that you're talking about, that's where the Attack on Titan cosplay meetup was today. And yeah, that is a hole. That's just literally just on the street.
Like,
you just walk right up.
It's like,
I get why they keep it open, because it is used for cosplay guys. That is when there's a sign. It's for one of the bigger groups.
Well, it's just that.
But it is like.
It's just
you
weird.
You just walk right in.
Yeah, it's just a little weird.
It's true.
Like, yeah, if you're gonna have bag checks, like, you gotta be careful with that. I think the only other thing is, oh, I guess this is just a personal thing because I was press this year. Just a distinction, I was actually the guy that was press.
I was a normal. I did not have press. I didn't, like, oh yeah, I got press, and then I just ran away in the cosplay.
Yeah. Literally, she was the fangirl.
No,
she was the fangirl here.
No, I had my badge. I was set to go regardless of if my press went through or not, which it didn't, unfortunately. So, but this was the plan anyway. So,
but one thing that happened was that they were being really kind of horrible with, like, who could take in into the press lounge or into, like, the press area. They have, like, upstairs, around the exhibit hall, you go upstairs, they have, like, a section that's basically it should be, like, for press or industry or whatever, but if you don't have a specific badge, they won't let you in no matter what, even if you're with the press person.
They're really
I went in to, like, talk with one person. I had to talk to this one person. This one person that was there, she basically said, no, she can't come in with you. Like, no, she, with me, you have to let her in, I had to interview her. If you want to interview her, you have to go across the exhibit hall and to go up the stairs or whatever. Go through all that mess of people. Yes, said that with a straight face. And I'm just like, first of all, you're wasting my time right now. This is not very good. So, really, they need to be less strict with this. That you can't be like, okay, we gotta be really holding up to the rules and making sure maybe that issue happened where press were just inviting, like, friends
that might, yeah,
up to the,
I mean, this is a,
up to the
this
press
is
lounge.
Old, this is, you know, I mean, this
and,
is, this convention's been around for over 2 decades now. So, I mean, there might have been. I get that they want to keep the press, they don't want people inviting their friends in. They want to keep it professional. They want to just have, okay, this is for industry people. It's people interviewing industry people. They don't want outsiders in there.
But it's just a case of, like, maybe, like, let us know going in, I guess. Like, I don't think, like, when they sent out emails, I don't think they mentioned that at all. Like, they just, well, for starters, they actually had to change the press. They apparently listed the press lounge address wrong. Like, it was in, like, 303 or something like that, but they moved it to, like, 301A. By the way, it's really far away from the convention, just letting you know right now. So, yeah, like, it was just weird. But, aside from just that, like, if they just shore that up, like, the line issue is kind of minor, because in the end, like, they did let people got in. Maybe the volunteers can know a little bit more about where they're at, because it definitely felt like they sometimes didn't know where they were.
When I went to the Little Jack Academia, the times that I kept coming back to check, there was a different staffer. Like, I get their volunteers, you know, they're dealing with a lot of stuff. I mean, I did overhear some pretty ridiculous demands this weekend, and, you know, I completely understand, and respect them for that. At the same time, you know, I feel like it would benefit the volunteers, you know, if they could communicate, if there's some sort of, I don't know how this works, so I could just be, this is nothing. But yeah, it's like, you know, there would be a new volunteer person there. They would have no clue what was going on. And then I feel bad for asking things when they're still obviously trying to figure out kind of what's going on, what they need to do for this specific part of the convention or whatever. I don't know, just some sort of hey, did anything major happen? Or, you know, what event is coming up next? Where is that line going to start and when? You know, that kind of thing.
I think my last critique is, okay, they can't do really much about it, but I announced your guest a little bit earlier this year, AX. Just go do that.
That's a problem. The schedule's out late. It definitely builds the hype.
Oh, yeah. They even...
It builds the hype.
It's a little reminder, they make the schedule, but then, out of nowhere, there was this one change in the schedule, for Nice America. They changed their, the anime panel. They moved it to Friday.
Welcome to Anime Expo. They'll just change stuff. And then there's things like they'll announce surprise guests at the convention. This huge superstar showed up there at our booth.
Yeah, I think
an hour. We told no one.
Yeah, I think I saw someone on Twitter too. Said they're doing this autograph sign for this person. I'm like, wait a minute, I didn't hear about this. What's going on here?
Yeah, it's then I'll get on Twitter 4 hours later.
So weird.
It's crazy.
But aside from that, I mean, AX has been probably maybe better than, I guess... Well, I wouldn't say better for most people. For me personally, I would say it was a kind of awesome experience. Aside from Thursday. Thursday, we don't speak of Thursday, okay?
Thursday was...
Just don't do that.
Interesting.
But Friday and Saturday has been good, and then Sunday's going to be the capital. I just hope the plane ride back home would be decent.
That's all I think.
How about you?
Yeah, I mean, this was a really good AX for me. I had different stress this year than I did last year, which was a good thing. I feel like I'm becoming, more and more of a cosplayer, getting deeper into the hobby, and learning more about, what I can do to improve and, get better at pretending to be fictional characters who are younger than I am. I have a lot, and it's a lot of fun and meeting a lot of different people and making those connections and all that kind of stuff. I really enjoyed the Smile Company, continuing, the relationship with Anime Expo, bringing out the, really cool exclusive stuff, which that they make my year every year. So it's a lot of fun as a good collector. It's been a good year.
Just letting you know in advance, I have no idea if I'm going to come back to AX. Just letting you know all right now. But, it's definitely been one interesting trip, that's for sure. All right, I think that will be it for the podcast. Now it's time to do that introduction thing that everybody needs to do at the end of the podcast. My name is Justin. I am the editor. We don't even need to know that part. I'm on Twitter at Kaminomi. That'll be Kaminomi, Kami_Nomi. And I'm tired. There you go.
And I am Muse. I'm on most social media as Subdued Fangirl or Confused Muse. So Twitter is Subdued Fangirl. I also run my own personal blog called Subdued Fangirl Lane. If you follow my Twitter, there's a link for that.
I'll give her a follow there.
Everything runs through my Twitter.
We're also at the actual organization site. Organization ASG site has their own Twitter account at Organization ASG. Facebook, Google+, we have that. So go like us on Facebook. Go find us on Google+. We're kind of around and trying to get bigger too. I think that's it for AX.
Yeah. One more day. That's it for the podcast. So we'll see what happens on the last day.
We will see. Bye.
Bye.